Tansei, I'm Michael Hutchinson, your host for the Cree episodes of Words and Culture. I come from a large family with five boys and two girls, so I was never encouraged to go into hockey because it was too expensive. But my grandpa loved it, and I remember him watching the games and getting all excited depending on the fortunes of his favorite teams. I enjoy watching a good hockey game, but as a former media person, I like watching the camera shots and hearing the commentary too. It's not an easy thing to do, which is why I wanted to talk to Earl Wood. Earl is a musician, powwow MC, and a Cree commentator for NHL hockey games on APTN. Let's meet Earl.
Earl Wood at Sigasuano, no scopuno, che, why, Nanasco Mona, semi no muta. I said, hello, and my name is Earl Wood, and I'm from the Satellite Cree Nation, and I'm very pleased and I'm grateful to be invited here to communicate and talk about our language. I'd like to reiterate by saying my name is Earl, and regarding the language, I'm unlike all my other relatives. I'm the same as them regarding our interruption to self regarding the language. As an indigenous person, I believe that our language is paramount to the identity of who we are. As indigenous people, we all have that. We all have that collective genetic memory, that collective genetic bond. So it's in our blood, it's in our DNA, but it was interrupted and it went dormant. And as a result, we see the many different the effects of that. However, the language is there. And in today's technological reality that we have to exist in as indigenous people, the Creator gave us something, all of us, and He gave it to us all equally. And He skipped no one, and it was our intelligence. Our intelligence was our evolutionary protection, and the language was a paramount part of that. There's things that happen in the communities now that that are catalysts for the language. But on an everyday basis, in any reservation, you predominantly hear English. You don't really hear a lot of our language, eh? That's why stuff like Hockey Night in Canada and Cree and all these, using these mainstream, these things that our people are interested in, eh? In this modern day society, see, our language can fit right in there. And when you listen to Hockey Night in Canada and Cree, right, it's so descriptive, the language, and it's humorous, right? And it brings it to a whole nother level of understanding and appreciation for indigenous people. It's a reclamation, and it also stands as a testament to the resilience and the fortitude and the strength and the spirit of the language and the importance of it. Within the language lies values that are going to help us.
Welcome one more time to Wagumagatiguma, Hockey Night in Canada and Cree on APTN. Once again, the world's greatest network to Scott's Night Blonde. Minawuta, our linguist, Jason Chemakis, with a little bit of language resources. How, Jason?
Okay. Utilma, over in Calgary, we have some...
I asked Earl how he got involved with interpreting NHL games in Cree.
So I became a chuck wagon announcer, a race announcer. And then I became a rodeo announcer. And then I became a Indian relay announcer. So that was and that was connected to the culture, horses, and language. And I use language. Every time I MC, I put the language in there. And, you know, the people, they respond. Both indigenous and non-indigenous, you know. People come up and ask, what do you say? And I always say over the mic what I'm saying so everybody can understand that, you know, like that. So this guy phoned me up one day out of the blue, Doug Howe. We've since become friends. He phoned me up and says, hey, would you like to, you know, we have an opportunity here. Would you like to send in a demo? My daughter, Fawn, she said, Dad, make one. Go ahead, send it in. So I sent it in, not thinking anything. Then I got this call, right? Yeah, I remember. And then I thought, geez, you know what? There's one thing I can say I helped out in. I played one small part in that storm of cultural awakening. You know, I think there's a storm of coherency happening within the people. And I think there's a way that, and to be creative, there's a way we can use technology to help us. I don't think we ever lost it. I think it was just like making a sweat fire. You start out small sometimes, and then all of a sudden that fire is real hot. Then you go sweat, and then you realize how good it is to do all these things in process and stay focused. And Wakutuin, we need to have that. These words, that's why those words are important. Wakutuin, you know, when we cared about each other. Wakutuin is one word, but it means a whole bunch of things. Eh? Being related, being relative, and honoring each other like that, and looking after that relationship.
Was hockey a big part of your life growing up?
Yeah, we used to play on the sloughs. We used to play on the back here. There's a creek that goes by, and everybody would go there and play hockey. Eh? Yeah, hockey was always a big part of it. Eh? Even in residential school, they had hockey.
Yeah.
I remember we played hockey there, and they let us go out on the ice, and that was a good time. Every now and again, man, you'd forget where in the heck you were. Eh? Just be skating and be like that. And, you know, okay, come on in. Then the reality would come back. Yeah. Hockey was always a big part. I remember we had great big tournaments and people were, you know, it was a gathering. It was a way of gathering people. I remember that. There was lots of good hockey, outside hockey too, right? No. Yeah. They didn't have these arenas and that. They had outside hockey.
Hockey tournaments, Minakagisigatina, no? Nicola Valley Junior Hockey Tournament, March 2024, Merritt, BC. Gakyog, and I'm going out, ekte, ganto, sito, squai, gogo, gigawagumagando, agekte, Merritt.
Now you're an NHL sportscaster, you know, like, how does that make you feel that you're part of something so big? And like you said, it's a modern expression of the language.
It's like anything we do in life. If it makes you feel good, then you do more. And for me, when I never really understood the whole impact of it, right? Because it was all nervous and stuff going up to the first show and stuff. But when I got home, there was young people in there, you know, oh, there's that guy. He lives here. Hey, that's it. And they come back and they say the word that they, you know, Pimutagale, Pitagale. He shoots, he scores, right? And he's getting. Saying that, and they're saying, how do you say this? How do you say that? And, you know, I seen, and it made me feel, holy smokes, what a beautiful experience it is to have some sort of a part of having an impact on somebody like that, especially regarding giving them something that is going to help them get to center and help them identify themselves and be comfortable with themselves. You know,
yeah. It's
kind of finding pieces of yourself and, holy smokes, oh, there's a piece of me I didn't know it was. And here it is, right? And you put it back on, or you put it back on, you wear it, eh? It felt like that. You know, yeah. It feels like that here. Because a lot of our young people, boys, they don't speak the language. And they're always on their phones and just, but they all like hockey, eh? Especially now with the women's hockey. right? Yeah. These young girls, right? And and they identify with me being that hockey guy, right? So they, we talk. I go to the schools and we talk, you know. You girls too, and those guys, hey, can I, you think I could be a commentator? Of course you could be a commentator. You could be get a guy on a camera. You could be running the camera. You could be the director. You know, you tell them these things, right? Yeah. So it's, you know, it really feels good. Eh? I felt really humbled. I felt really proud. I felt really proud. And as for me, my own personal journey, I felt like, you know, all the things that we witnessed as kids in the boarding school and stuff, you know, you could use that stuff to help others. You know, help others, help these young people. You know, learn from the past. Look at the past. Look at what your uncles and your aunties and your Muslims, and look where they wanted you to go. Look what they left you to. This language will take you anywhere you want to go.
In being a commentator, you've had to create new words to be able to describe what's going on in the games. Can you tell us some of those words that you've created to be able to do your commentary?
Well, I don't know if it's like creating a different word more so than looking at it from a different lens.
Mm.
You know, looking at it from a different lens. It's just a little bit different focus like that. And, from a different view, even, right? Because the language is very descriptive, you know? And one word could mean a sentence or it could mean a whole happening, right? And with that language, sometimes the guy will fall down, right? He'll get checked down. He'll get a kind of up slow. And Clarence will say something regarding, oh, he's getting up like you when you hit a moose and he gets back up and he kind of wobbles around, right? So there's a lot of comedy like that. But, you know, as an Indigenous person, I could just tell, you know, who really keys in is these old people that know the language. You know, to listen to Clarence, if you really understand the language, he takes you on a journey. You're watching this hockey game, but the metaphors just take you on a journey. In and out of that arena, man, and out into the vast expanses of universal thought. And it also helps you when you listen to him. It gives you an opportunity to allow yourself for some introspection. And it also challenges some of your worldview. And I think we need to be challenged like that because we need to evolve. Our language needs to evolve. The way we use the language, the understanding of the language needs to evolve. The way we teach it, it needs to evolve. And then it's like bringing home a nice hind quarter. But you're chipping it off as you get home. And then pretty soon when you get home, you don't have anything left. All these guys that are branching out and teaching the language, because the language can be changed and it could be, there's a word I'm trying to use here that would just hit it right on the head. But it's kind of like when you could change it a little bit just with the sound. Right. And all of a sudden that word still sounds the same, but it's not grammatically correct. Here's an example. Right. Now, I'm not saying this is wrong, but I'm saying how languages can be diluted. But if you try to teach the Plains Cree dialect and you change it just a little bit and you put the Y dialect in there, even in one word, right, you're going to teach somebody that they're going to go away thinking that is this dialect when it's that dialect. Mm-hmm. So I think important for us, there was a time where we knew who we were, we knew what we were saying, and we knew our purpose. Then this language, other language came in, and this other spiritual belief came in, and all of a sudden we were like this, and now we're like this. Sometimes we say things, and we don't use that language properly. Right, so there's some miscommunication. And then all of a sudden, these young people going away, and that language took a little curve, and those young people are holding it like that. So they're going to teach people with that curve. Okay? So for me, you know, it would be good if we could collectively as indigenous people, then these people, the powers that be, and they are, you know, there's all kinds of associations, right, that represent us. You know, where's that Mamo Kamatu, and where's that working together? Where is that Wakutu, and where is that all our relations? They're not thinking of every. We should all have a collective language database, and we should all be moving forward together to fortify and replenish all the languages, not just the Cree language.
I'm going to have more with Mr. Earl Wood a bit later in the show. I'm really interested in the future of the Cree language and how it can evolve over time and how new words can be created as our world changes. Language reclamation and the future of Indigenous languages comes in many forms, from calling hockey games to singing contemporary songs. Art Napoleon has a master's in language revitalization. He is a language educator and may be best known for his TV show Moose Meat and Marmalade. But Art is also a musician, and he's kind of ahead of his time. In 2010, Art Napoleon released an album called Creelin Covers, where he translated some pop songs into Cree. This is his version of Tracy Chapman's song, Talking About a Revolution. That was Art Napoleon and talking about a revolution. The NHL has been doing some pretty cool things to honor Indigenous culture. Each season, during a Winnipeg Jets game, the NHL partners with the Winnipeg Aboriginal Sports Achievement Center, or WASAC. Indigenous musicians and dancers come out and perform before and during the game. This year, the Jets invited Cree mezzo-soprano Rhonda Head to sing the national anthem in her language.
My name is Rhonda Head. I'm from Apaska Cree Nation, Manitoba, in Treaty 5 territory. I'm a recording artist, author, singer-songwriter. I am not fluent in Cree, but I understand quite a bit. But my parents didn't teach me Cree because of residential school. So I started, I was taking voice lessons, and I was learning Italian and French and Latin, and I was becoming really good at singing in those languages, and I kind of put a stop to it. I'm like, wait a minute, I should be singing in my own language. That's when I started writing songs in the Cree language, and my language started coming back to me. And what I found too, writing in Cree, was that Cree is also a language of love because it fit perfectly with the Italian words of an opera, as well as French and Latin, and it just flowed beautifully. So I call the Cree language also a language of love. I probably rehearsed the anthem more than 1,000 times. I rehearsed it singing it, and I rehearsed it in my head. It was such an incredible moment. I prepared hours and hours of meditating, of visualizing, of going through the song over and over in my head. Like, I knew I could nail the songs, but it was the amount of people that were going to be in that arena. My favorite hockey team was going to be there and listening to me live right there on the ice. And I knew it was going to be televised. So that's what I needed to prepare for. So I could nail the songs perfectly. And then when I got onto the ice, I was very calm and confident, and it just felt so, after I was done singing the anthem, it just felt really like a lot of pride. And I sang my heart out and with lots of feeling. And it was an incredible moment, probably one of the most pivotal moments of my career. I wanted to sing the anthem in Cree because it's the first song I've sung in public. That was the first song I sang in front of an audience at the OCN Blizzard, and I sang the Canadian anthem in Cree. It's so beautiful. It's a beautiful rendition of O Canada. The anthem in Cree is different from the anthem in English. And what I'm singing about is the sacredness of the land and how we love the land. When I started learning the song and I asked for the translation of the song, they pretty well told me I'm singing about the sacredness of the land of like Canada, how sacred the land is. My favorite part is actually all of it, because I get to sing about our land and on how we interpret the Canadian anthem in English to Cree. It, to me, it has more meaning because we are, as Indigenous people, like being part of the land is part of who we are as people. After I sung the anthem, I just felt an overwhelming sense of relief, for one thing, for nailing it, and overwhelming sense of pride. And because we've come a long way as a nation from being stopped from learning our language and being punished for talking in our language to singing in our language at a National Hockey League game, is quite incredible. It was quite special, and I had my Facebook, my social media blew up right after that, right after I sang, and me and my sister went walking around in the levels there when they were having intermission, and I got approached by a lot of Caucasian people telling me how great I sang and what a wonderful performance I did. And so that felt really good. Like, that to me, that was some like reconciliation.
That was Rhonda Head, a citizen of the Opaskwayak Cree Nation in northern Manitoba. All right, before we go, I asked my first guest, Earl Wood, to share some Cree words with me.
Relations. Relatives. The relationship with the trees, with the water, with the earth, with the people, and all our relatives on this earth. Wakutuin. Mamokamatuin. Means work together. Working together. But within that, it's taking that personal responsibility to that collective. Sakituin. Love. It means kaipume. Agamemo. Paktaitamu. That word means a lot. Just the sum of it. Kaipume. Don't give up. Agame. Try hard. Paktaitamu. Taitamu. To be able to forgive. Don't be a prisoner to the trauma. Release yourself. Release that person who caused the trauma. You'll be both free from it. It's energy. Because we as Indigenous people, we realize we live in a vibratory reality. We're spiritual beings having a physical spiritual experience. Because the rocks have spirit, the trees have spirit, the water. Whatever happens to the trees and waters can happen to us. I tell that to all the kids every time I talk. And the connection and the spirit that they have to those. The spirit. Look after your spirit, because we're living in a time where spirits are getting eaten.
Well, that's it. The past 6 episodes of Words and Culture and their focus on the Cree language has been an awesome journey for me. I always enjoy talking to my Auntie Stella, but other language warriors like Grand Chief Satie, Ron Cook, Adrian Sutherland, Richard Keeper, and of course Earl Wood were also great to speak with and learn from. Ultimately, a people's worldview is in their language, and I think the Cree worldview still has a lot to offer humanity. The very idea of splitting all of creation into that which has spirit and that which does not have spirit would paint the whole universe with life and the importance of keeping our relations. Well, that's it for me and the Cree episodes of Words and Culture. I want to thank the producer, Kim Wheeler, for asking me to be a part of it, as well as all those good people at the Community Radio Fund of Canada. Next week, my colleague, Christine Genier, will be here to introduce you to her language of South Tushone, along with other languages in the Athabascan family. Remember to visit our website at www.wordsandculture.ca for more information and language learning. I'm Michael Hutchinson. Be well. Keep smiling.
Words and Culture is made possible with funding from SiriusXM through the Community Radio Fund of Canada. Words and Culture is produced by Kim Wheeler. Kaylin Belair is our audio engineer and editor.
Onigiwahi.
Gigawabamin. Soko seni denit e. Ninen yuji hina.
Ekose.
Kakuhutau. We'll see you again.
You're listening to CGSF 90.1 in Burnaby, British Columbia.
Sego.
Buju Anin.
Danach A. Ak Anzenu Shukwithan.
Tante.
Ay, Inuhadikai.
This is Words and Culture, a series on Indigenous languages, funded by SiriusXM through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.